podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Right, we're back. We're finally back. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, it has. It's been a few weeks.
Have you, you enjoyed the break?
I don't know. I were enjoying the World Cup at the start, but I'm almost kind of like glad.
Gone 2 days without the World Cup. That's it.
I'm glad for these 2 days. To be honest, I think it was like 57 games in 19 days. I was like fatigued.
Bit saturated at the start, yeah. Weren't it? That was a big problem.
Yeah, from watching them. And like having seen to quite a few people, there's like a few games that you go out your way for, like Brazil.
Yeah.
You know, countries like that. But you know, a lot of it's like
I'm not gonna lie, I watch quite a lot. 10 a.m. yeah. Kickoffs, I love that. Yeah. Love that. 3 o'clock kickoffs, not so much during the day. I think that's a good weekend kickoff time, obviously.
Yeah.
But not during the day, it's like after lunch, we'll have a nap, especially like working from home. Like, that's been nap time. Right?
Yeah, there was 1 week. Well, I think it was the first week actually. I was editing a TV assignment at uni, and lights are just gone.
Oh, they'll be on timer, won't they? So we did have little festive decorations for the podcast, but time has gone off too late.
Yeah,
I don't know why they're not set up for 10 to 10. Cowboy time.
The first week I was editing like a TV assignment in uni, and like in the editing suite we just like big projector, like every game back to back to back, on in the background, like people just like coming in, like, and just, you know, coming in and out and watching the games.
What have you thought of this World Cup so far?
I think the group stages, the president's just kind of like saying whatever else is saying. I think he's a big man. The FIFA president.
Yeah, his opening speech. Like, today, I feel Qatari. Like, no, you don't.
Joke. but yeah, it's been good so far. I think, while we've just been criticising about like how saturated it's been with so many games, I think like the last round of group games, yeah, with how much drama, there was... I think everyone like keeps talking about that moment for like, however, like, I think it was like a minute or 90 seconds where both Spain and Germany were out.
We're going out, yeah. Yeah. But I think a lot of the match day ones were quite poor. So we had Wales, USA in match day one, yeah. England group.
Weren't great, were
they? But it was, I think in a lot of groups, it was all the teams that you expect to finish, all the teams you expect to compete for second place. So it weren't like the group favourites. It were the two teams that potentially could qualify with them. And I think if you lose that game, you're out then. Like you're chasing the other team. You're expecting them to slip
points up. Points in the case of Wales.
Yeah, but if USA to beat them, you're then relying on Iran to beat USA, because you know that both of you are going to get beat by England. So yeah. I think a lot of the group match day ones in most groups were like 0-0s, 1-1s, because everyone was just terrified to lose that first game. But then that made up for it in match day three, because everyone else was so close and they knew that beat them on goal difference, or if you score more than you were going through, mate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a good World Cup so far. I've enjoyed it. Some of the coverage on UK telly is absolutely rubbish at producing and covering sport. Yeah. We have got the technology nowadays to analyse football in seconds and come up with good discussion. And we've still got Lee Dixon and John Artson saying, yeah, he's headed it and the keeper's saved it. Yeah, I can see that. I'm watching the same game as you, John, but I want you to tell me why he's headed it straight at the keeper.
Yeah.
I want you to analyse what he's done, why is he not sharp enough, what's he not done in the game so far to be ready for that chance when it hits his head.
I think I remember watching the first game, Qatar Ecuador, and it was Dion Dublin on core commentary, and I was like, if it's a sign of things to come, we're in trouble here.
They're just stairs there leading up to your bedroom.
Holmes wouldn't have a legend in here. Some of it's not been great at all. I saw yesterday, I think it was Clive Tildesley put on Twitter that like it's the first World Cup he's been to in 8 World Cups, that he's going on for England. And yet, on Saturday night, Lee Dixon and Sam Matterface will be commentating.
Like Clive and Alan McCoy's for a good team. I love Alan McCoy's. I could listen to him all day. I think
he's Scottish.
Yeah, but he knows his stuff, and he's actually passionate about it. Like, you listen to John Archson, even John Archson during the Wales games, but during the Wales games, oh my god, you're like, we're gonna go up pitch with his top off and celebrate. You're supposed to be like neutral, balanced commentator.
The Welsh dragon has a walk,
he writes his own scripts. It's a penalty, John, calm down.
I thought some of the BBC stuff about Wales was really cringy. Like, I remember like, some of that, the VTs they made before the England game.
Yeah, no, but it's
that... It was like the Red Wall, the bucket hats.
Yeah, I can't think who he is. Shocking Welsh accent. The actor that does the speech, that I think he did it live on Graham Norton, and they made him record it again for Wales. But it's a big story, Wales being the big cup. It's like 56 years.
Yeah.
It's not the gold. Well, it probably is the golden generation because the other generations have been crap. But like, to qualify was a big deal. They probably let themselves down in the end. But I think the build up to it was more exciting than like, for England than this is just any other World Cup, really, isn't it?
I don't think so.
But there's been some games. So I watched, I think it was Poland versus someone. Or it might have been Serbia, and for half an hour, they played the Michael Owen goal in France 98 about 5 times, and I'm like, England are not even in this group. They're not even going to play these in the round of 16 through to the final. They're on a different bracket. Why am I watching Michael Owen score goals? And then for 5 minutes, they talked about one of the team, either Poland or Serbia, the running 82 where they got to the semi final. I was like, well, you could have just spent the last half an hour talking about that and how good that was.
I think on a day when England aren't playing, you probably want one piece of England build up as part of someone's coverage in that day. And then
you could just have a reporter come on and say, yeah, I've been at training camp today, everyone looks fit, everyone's happy, everyone's but like, yeah,
maybe, if you do the like same thing again, you do the same thing over and over, it gets kind of
the same. I mean, how many times have you seen Michael Owen's goal against Argentina?
get
the Michael Owen tape.
Oh no, when we played Scotland in the Euros, like, go and get the Gazza goal.
That's just. So the Michael Owen goal, other World Cups to be sure. Oh my god, if I see that Lampard goal line technology ever again, I'm going to cry my eyes out.
Yeah. That was quite a funny one after the whole controversy.
of the ball being out. I mean, it's not the same, is it? I mean, Japan have got to score a winning goal like that. England would have got beat 4-2 otherwise.
People say that.
It would have changed. It would have changed the game.
It
had David James and Peter Crouch up front. It wouldn't have changed the game. Germany had a world class team at that
point. But there you go. You say this is like any other World Cup for England, but you compare the squad we've got now as the squad then.
I don't think the squad now is that good. I think it's good.
Come on.
But I think Saturday will tell you a lot more about England. Absolutely, than what the last 6-8 years has done massively. This is the first game I think that England have played where they're not expected to win in probably the last 8 years.
Germany in the Euros. I was,
look at Germany's performance since.
Fair point, but I was pretty nervous going into that game because of like.
Yeah, I think it's a history of like. But if you look at Germany's squad, you're probably picking 3 players to go in the England squad from that squad.
Yeah, but
you're probably taking Musiala, maybe Neuer. And
I just felt at the time that was a really high pressure game, and Southgate.
Yeah, they're at Wembley. At home.
Yeah, it was at Wembley, but and also you've got to think about how I remember like being in the pub before the game and the team news came out and Southgate played a 5 at the back and 2 holding midfielders and everyone was slagging him off. Like, oh, we're gonna get knocked out, and then we'd put an absolute masterclass on 1-2-0.
It weren't a masterclass, the Muller scores going out. So.
Well, I mean,
Man, I had balls from my uncle.
Yeah. Let's just ignore that.
So you look at England's run to the final at the Euros. Everyone they played in that tournament is now no longer in this World Cup, apart from Croatia in the group stage.
Yeah.
So that shows that the teams Like they've either didn't qualify or they've not got through the group stage at this World Cup. So, and it were only a year ago. It's not like it was a 2 year gap. It's not a different generation. This is it was only last summer that. So the teams that they played in the Euros aren't as strong as maybe they've made out. And I think this France team is it's the marker in it. If, and I think it's a marker for a lot of players. So a lot of talk this week about Walker versus Mbappe. You're going to see how good Walker is. You're going to see how good Bellingham is if he takes control of that midfield. You're going to see how good Foden is if he plays. It's all right doing it against Iran, 6-0 playing ball about, but France at a quarter final is the make or break for some lads, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well, but I don't like how a lot of the build-up's been done so far. I think Kyle Walker said yesterday it's not me versus Mbappe or England versus Mbappe. It's England against France.
Yeah. Yeah, France have got other dangerous players than Mbappe.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of the build up from neutral outlets has been very much painting France as a favourites. I know that's like.
I mean, they are world champions.
They are. And I know it's difficult because I'm obviously an England fan, but I see it as more 50-50. I really do.
I think just because of the lack of midfield, like obviously they're still playing Griezmann in there at the minute because they've got a lot of players injured. I just think that that's where England could win the game. I think it's probably 60-40 to France at the minute, but they have to get the midfield right on Saturday.
Yeah, I think maybe it's a thing of my heart says 50-50, my head's saying like 60-40, you know, to France. So.
I think he needs to drop Kane. I don't think you play Kane.
It's a big call.
It's like playing with 10 men. He doesn't press. He doesn't turn the back line.
I was tempted to drop Kane so far this World Cup was for the Wales game. I thought in that USA game, there were a few England players that looked a bit leggy.
Second game of World Cup, how can you be leggy?
Yeah, I know, but
you're running around with your really stiffy. You're playing in a World Cup, man.
It's tough conditions out there.
Yeah, it is. We spoke about that before the tournament, but I don't know. I mean, it'll be a good game on Saturday, no matter what happens. But if you look at so we did like a France versus England 1-11. So I mean they've both got stinking goalkeepers. They've both got good goalkeepers. They've both got a goalkeeper gonna throw one in, let's put it that way. Pickford and Lloris can both throw one in. I think they're both good on the day.
I won't take any Pickford slander in England.
I mean he wouldn't a game against Senegal.
Yeah, well that's his job. That sounds like Roy Keane, but
that's his job.
That's his job.
He's in prison for doing his job. You Welsh?
I saw you put on Twitter the other day where it was like, what did you say?
Two world class saves from Pickford and a penalty shout. That's the difference between winning and losing.
Yeah, it was the Stones and Ball, weren't it? Stones and Ball and the Pickford save, and I'm like, Stones and Ball's never. Yeah, I was like, oh, he must be fishing.
The ball's going towards a goal and it hits his hand. That's handball.
Yeah, it comes off his leg first.
It's going on target. It's handball.
It's not handball.
The rule is, if the ball is going on target and it hits an opponent's hand, it's handball. It doesn't matter what body part it hits off. If it's going on target and it's hit his hand, it's handball. They change the rules and that's what it says. If it's on target, it hits his hand, it's handball.
Even if that had been given for England, I'd have been...
Would you?
That's
fortunate. Would you?
I'd have said that's fortunate, that.
You said that about every England penalty, really, then, can't you?
Rubbish, isn't it?
But it's handball in it. But I didn't realise the other one that Pickford had saved where it was at the handball where the first guy obviously hits off Stone's hand and the guy following up smashes it against Pickford and tips it over the bar, right. But he gave a goal kick. That's another world class save. Yeah. So at one point they could have been 2-0 down.
England are rubbish because goalkeeper does his job. That's how you make it sad.
Right, so who France got left back? Patrice Evra. they're getting in ahead of Luke Shaw, whoever it is. It's at he's at Argentina, isn't he? Can't think off the top of my head. Let me have a look at France's last game.
They're not Pavard. Is he right back?
No.
I see it was. My phone's bloody recording it. I was going on my phone then.
Who did play last? Denmark. Who did play last? Tunisia. No. Round of 16. Poland. Here we
Poland,
go.
Yeah.
Lineups. Theo Hernandez. Would you have him over Shaw? I think so. Playing Champions League football every week. Luke Shaw's but a sub bench at United.
Again, though, Luke Shaw, another one.
Another one, what?
Always plays well for England.
Another one.
Always plays well for England.
Yeah. You're taking up a Meccano and Varane over Maguire and Stones. Surely. I know if Maguire plays well for England, you're going to say that, but this is going to be Maguire's first test for England.
Probably take
Stones over Varane on the right side.
See, I would have said Varane over Maguire, but I think the two defences are the most similar.
Yeah.
In terms of standard.
You've got Kwande at right back. I'd probably take all three of England's right backs over him. And they've got Tchouaméni from Real Madrid and Rabiot in midfield. I'm probably taking Bellingham and Rice over both of them. Griezmann, not picking him over Foden, but I'm taking Dembele and Mbappe over Sterling.
I mean, Sterling's a lot to start.
Who's the other wingers? I'm taking him over Rashford.
Taking Dembele over Rashford.
Yeah, 100%.
In the form Rashford's in.
He's got Wayne Hennessy to thank for all of his goals.
I knew
that would
get a reaction.
The free kick, it's a good hit. But if my keeper lets it in on a Sunday, I'm fuming. It's goalkeeper's side. So did you watch who won 6-1 the other day against Switzerland?
Portugal.
The last goal. Have you seen it?
No, I had that. I was absolutely knackered on Tuesday night. I fell asleep at 4.
So like Somner like drops to the floor to try and save him. The ball like goes past his head here. And he just like doesn't even go for it. Because obviously it's a 6th goal. He's obviously give up. And Ali McCoy's like, oh, it must have took a deflection. Must have been watching it replay. He's like, can't see a deflection. Like, keeper just put his ass out. Can't be arsed. And then I'm taking Giroud over Harry Kane as well.
It took a second to register that. It really did.
He's France's all-time record goal scorer.
And Kane seems to be England's
all-time record. Put some respect on the name. He's probably scored some of the greatest Premier League goals of all time.
What relevance is that?
Well, just saying he's a better striker than Harry Kane, that's all.
That's shocking. Really is.
Right. So I think the World Cup's gone well so far, for all the controversy and stuff. I don't want another winter one. I've been watching most of the games from home because it's too cold to walk to the pub.
Yeah.
It's 10 yards away.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be the last, though. I really don't.
No. I think the next one after, where's 2030?
I think a lot of the rumours have been
2030 Germany?
The next Euros is Germany. A lot of the rumours have been circulating around Uruguay because it's the 100th anniversary of the first World Cup and they held the first one. England were meant to be the UK and Ireland were meant to be bidding for it at one time, but that got switched to Euro 2028.
Right.
Something like the UK and Ireland are going to have that. So that should be good in 6 years time.
I mean, I saw one of the presenters on ITV, he did a TikTok yesterday saying, yeah, this World Cup has been good, I've enjoyed it. There should be more one city World Cups. Because obviously, like, for the furthest stadium, the stadium is like 40 kilometres. But I was thinking, which city in the world could host a World Cup? Considering when there used to be 16, or it used to always 24 teams, you'd probably need 8, wouldn't you? You need 8 stadiums. You could maybe get away with London if you were lucky.
Now it's Yeah, but now it's going up to 48. You've got no chance of it.
Well, how many groups do you need? So, I mean, there's going to be three groups of 16 groups of three. So you need 16 stadiums. So you're just not going to get that in any city in the world that are accessible. Or
I think the FIFA like regulations that it has to be over 35,000 capacity. So yeah. I mean, you've got Wembley, Emirates, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, London Stadium. Stamford Bridge.
They were the only four I thought you could use for like a main World Cup with like eight stadiums. I had Wembley, Tottenham, Chelsea.
What would Craven Cottage be after it's done? I mean, that's not.
It's middle of nowhere, though, isn't it? Like, the same with Stamford Bridge. It's not easy to get to. I mean, it's not. I know it's all right for like football fans on a Saturday, like if you're taking 1,000 away fans, but you got to think like 35,000 Brazilians have got to get to that stadium.
I think one city World Cups is a daft idea, really.
And I think the UK and Ireland bid, people have mourned that like Anfield's not being used. Anfield's a nightmare to get to.
Yeah,
it's like a 40-minute walk from the train station. Like you can't have 20,000 Uruguayans getting a taxi to Anfield. It's just not going to happen.
No, but Everton's is on the list, is it not?
Yeah, but it's a new Everton's one on the dock, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know if people are getting water taxis from like down the River Mersey. I don't know. I don't know how it'll work.
Getting bought right onto the ground.
Yeah. Right. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. Either way, I think Brazil got to be the favourites.
Yeah.
Or Argentina.
Well, it can't be Brazil-Argentina final because they're going to be in the semis, aren't they?
Yeah.
On the same side of the draw.
Argentina-Portugal final. Messi versus Ronaldo.
Yeah, it's been talked about for a while, hasn't it? All the fanboys have been...
All the Twitter Messi X ZN.
Getting proper hyped up for it, but... I mean, something happens. England are going to knock Portugal out in the semis. So.
Like Ronaldo's wink all over again. Declan Rice standing on some bollocks. Sent off.
But Ronaldo coming back in just to send England out one more time.
Yeah. Right. It is a Blackburn Rovers podcast. Let's go back to talking about Blackburn Rovers. So we had some friendlies during the World Cup break.
Some very successful friendlies.
Yeah. No goals conceded, six goals scored. Against a very weak Ajax side or a weakened Ajax side, but the Hearts results.
It's still Ajax.
And it was still good confidence for her scoring two very good goals. Yeah. Bradley Dack getting about 18 assists. Absolutely flying. Just going up to JDT outside, like shh.
What do you think of that?
And then obviously Dolan scoring his chip against Ajax. We've got Preston coming up on Saturday. Are you confident?
I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting back to it. I feel like we need to win just to make amends for how we signed off.
I think most people have forgotten about that by now, surely.
Yeah, but I don't think you really... You try and forget.
I think coming back into after the World Cup break, still being third in the table, being excited.
I think you've got to do your best to put it behind you, but I mean, it is hard. I feel like no one's really thinking about it too much, to be honest, because it's like obviously the World Cup. I feel like it's just kind of crept up on us, isn't it?
It's like a warm up for England France on Saturday.
Yeah, it's like the pre show, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll be at the airport on Saturday. I'll miss it. So. I'm going to miss the game.
Rob's going away on holiday before Christmas.
Yeah. Lucky bastard. I know, yeah. This weather's not for me. How's your Monday?
Oh, no, I don't. Had worse Mondays.
I'll go to them knobheads. How's your Monday with a cocktail in hand in the sun when everyone's...
Picture of pool on Sunday.
Just nonce behaviour. Nonce behaviour. Yeah,
shocking, isn't it?
What else has been happening? So we had the friendlies, we got Preston on Saturday, we got the Forest game.
Yeah, that should be a good one, shouldn't it?
Is it Tuesday the 21st?
Wednesday the 21st. because I had a mini panic attack when the works report came out for Christmas. And it was like Tuesday the 20th. I'm working like 12 till 8. I was like, it better be the Wednesday.
And we got the FA Cup draw.
Oh, I forgot about that. That is one thing.
I was so excited. I was buzzing for the FA Cup draw. I was like,
I was sat down here, and just because of how bad the draws we've got have been over the last few years,
yeah.
I was like, every shit team that came out, I was like, this is us.
Yeah.
My mum was like, shut up.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Like, I just want like a conference team away or a big team away. I don't want a shit team away.
Big team, like,
I don't want a 7-hour trip.
I keep saying since Spurs moved into their new ground that summer.
Yeah, you want to go there?
But I was like, before the draw, I was saying a lower league side away. Because it's like,
Something new,
somewhere you've never been, somewhere you're very unlikely to go again. But when I was like looking at who was left, like, there's not really that many non-league sides that have made it through to the third round this year. So
no, I mean, there have been some good ties for some of them.
But
for some reason, BBC have picked
all
Premier League ties, like Liverpool versus Wolves.
It's obviously because they don't get to show the Premier League in it.
So someone said, oh, it's because that them clubs' fans will tune in to watch it on TV like more than anyone. But I think as a football fan, if Liverpool Wolves is on telly and you're a neutral, like say you didn't support any of the teams, you'd be like, oh, I can't be asked for that. But if it was Nuneaton Town versus Birmingham City, yeah, they're no Premier League clubs, but you'd be like, oh, they're a conference team, I'll watch them. Like, I always find myself watching the conference.
I don't know about Birmingham City. I feel like if it was an Eton versus Man City, I'd probably watch it.
I think like any proper underdog story. Yeah. I think most people tune in to watch it. But yeah, Norwich away. I think it makes it worse because we never seem to win there. So it's like you don't get to go because it's so far away. It's so annoying, and we're going to get beat.
It's just an absolute write off because they moved it to the Sunday as well, aren't they? Sunday 2 o'clock. I think
the first
train out of Blackburn that day gets you there at like
3:30.
Yeah,
catch last 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's just an absolute riot. We'll probably take about 200.
But it would be people that like live down there.
Yeah,
that'll go. It won't be anyone from up here.
And we're playing them like there twice in the space like 3 weeks because.
Play there just for Christmas.
Next Saturday's game, isn't it?
That's 12 o'clock kickoff as well, isn't it?
Isn't it half 5?
Oh, half 5. Yeah. I knew it were a change kickoff time.
On Sky every week now, because the Rotherham in January, that's been moved as well.
Yeah.
Sky Rooney days out.
Is that Friday night one?
No, Saturday, half 12. Yeah. Just go ahead, ruin my days out.
Yeah. You have to start earlier, drink stronger. So whilst we're on the break, we got an email inquiry from Stephen Doyle at the Sports Social Network, and he wanted to know if we wanted to be the Sports Social Network's official Black and Rovers podcast.
Yeah, very exciting. Website.
So we agreed to that, and we'll be. They'll be hosting our podcast from now on, so it might sound a bit different. I think there'll be like a Sports Social Network introduction and outro, and there might be a couple of their partnered ads in the middle. I'm not sure. I don't know how it works. Obviously, this will be the first one that they'll have and host.
Yeah.
So we'll see from now on, but it might sound a little different. They might change some of the audio as well. They've got a team that work on making it sound as good as possible, so there'll be no more me messing with my laptop at 3 in the morning trying to make it sound good. So yeah, all exciting times with the Sports Social Network now.
Yeah.
What else has been happening? What else have we missed out on? It's been a quiet World Cup break, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Not been much going on. Have you been listening to the second tier pod or listening to seeing any of the tweets, the videos or anything like that?
the only time I see any of this, because I don't follow them.
I don't follow them. Yeah,
the only time I see any of their stuff is when people have bit to it.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They know how. I don't want to sound a bit like, you know, like, oh, Rovers fan base is massive. You're a massive club and all that, but we have got quite a big following on that. I feel like if you target to the club like, I don't know, Rotherham, you know, someone like that, they wouldn't.
I think they do it for bites and interaction, don't they, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So I saw a tweet the other day, all 24 championship managers ranked on how much we would want them in charge of our club.
Yeah.
Right. So for number one, they've gone Paul Heckingbottom, which, I mean, I know he's doing well at Sheffield United now. He hasn't got a brilliant CV, has he?
No.
He might have had a couple of lower league promotions, but never really done much in Prem. Two, Russell Martin, not winning five, dropped to eighth on the table with Swansea, finished 16th last year. And I know I've said a lot of praise for Russell Martin on this podcast about the way he plays football. He sticks to his guns no matter what. And I do like him as a manager, but to say he's the second best manager in the championship you want in your club, that is a ridiculous shout. Number three, Vincent Kompany. I'm surprised. I thought it'd be higher just because of the name and the job he's doing. Four, Slaven Bilic. Don't get it. Like, has he ever been at a club more than 18 months? He seems to have one good season and drop off, get sacked, move on to someone else. Yeah. Mark Robbins, is that Bristol City's manager?
Yeah.
Doing all right, but fifth. Carlos Corberan, is he at... Where's he at now? He was good at Huddersfield. I remember him. He did a really good job at Huddersfield last year.
Yeah, he's only just been appointed though, hasn't he? Somewhere. Where is he? He's been appointed recently. I'm sure it was only a few weeks ago.
Carlos Corberan. West Bromwich Albion. And they've actually turned up in form since he's been in there.
Sack Bruce,
Seven, Alex Neil. Struggling with Stoke. Is he still at Stoke? Yeah. For now. Ryan Law at Preston at eight.
That's a strange show, that.
And he's doing well with Preston, to be honest, but I mean he's doing alright. They can't score goals and they don't concede many. Would you really want him desperately in charge of your club? Probably not.
No.
John Eustace. Who does he manage? Is he Luton now?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
it's Birmingham.
Is it?
I think. Is it? Yeah, I think it is Birmingham. And they're doing well this season. They're not doing great, though. They're not pulling up any trees. 10, Michael Carrick at Middlesbrough. 11, Gary Rowett. Again, he's just been so everywhere he's been, really, hasn't he? 12, Rob Edwards. Recently been sacked by Watford, now at Luton. Yeah. 13, Dean Smith, who Norwich are desperate to get rid of. 14, Mick Beale, Mr. Loyal.
Yeah.
What do you think of his move to Rangers?
I think it's his club, isn't it?
Not only that, but we spoke about it when he got linked to the Villa job. Can you be successful at Aston Villa at this current time?
Yeah.
No. If we went from QPR to Aston Villa, if he finishes anything lower than 10th, he's failed, which realistically is what Villa should achieve. Would you say? Like, I think they could probably get up to 7th at the highest, but they're going to be in that early between 7th and 13th. Villa fans will see that as a failure. And I think if you get Villa up to 7th, you've done a really good job, but you're not going to have anything on the CV. You're not going to pull up any trees. He's gone to Rangers. He's not going to win the league this year because Postecoglou's still doing really well at Celtic.
It's something remarkable, isn't it? Either a...
I mean, it's going to take him
collapse
two transfer windows to get you.
Two old firms left. Three old firms left, isn't there? There's only been one this season.
Yeah.
4-0. I mean, he's going to have to win all three and hope that I mean, what was it? 7 points?
7 points, yeah.
7 points, so he's going to have to win all three, and then Rangers are probably going to...
have to win every other game.
You'd think they're going to... So you're hoping Celtic drop points outside of that.
They look so strong compared to the rest of the league. I know they have drop points already, but I think once it gets to that business end of the season, I think the World Cup break will have benefited Celtic a lot more than it would have benefited Rangers.
Yeah.
But again, if he goes and wins League Cup, Scottish Cup,
the best he can do, really, isn't it, I suppose.
If he does well in the Europa League next year, I think that's like another chance at success as well. Yeah. You're not going to get that at Villa, whereas you got three cups to play for domestically.
Not consistently. You might get in there one season, and then you're doing that Thursday Sunday thing.
Yeah.
But I mean,
Rangers are used to playing Sundays, aren't they? Because they're on telly. Yeah. It's like every once in every 2 weeks they're going to play on a Sunday anyway.
Yeah.
15, Liam Rosinha. Is he at Hull?
Yeah.
And then 16th, Jon Dahl Tomasson. I don't understand that at all.
It's for Barnes, Rob.
I know it is for Barnes.
It must be.
I know it is for Barnes, but I'm looking now. Is there a more successful footballer on that list?
Where did they put Cole to?
21st. Not managed a game yet. 21st. Vincent Kompany, you could probably argue we. Carrick, you could definitely argue me. I think Carrick's probably the most successful footballer on that list. So he's definitely in the top three or four. And he's doing well in management. He won two league titles in Malmo. Got him to Champions League proper, achieved everything there. Now doing well with us. Got a good style of play. I know the second tier pod don't like it and think we're lucky, but he's going to prove them wrong.
I saw someone, I think it was in a reply to that post, someone saying, like, if you take Brereton Diaz and Kaminski out of our team, then we'd be struggling. I'm like, if you take the best two players out of any team.
Yeah, so he said, what did he say? I quoted it and said, heaps of trouble laughing. So, take out Ben Brereton Diaz and Kaminski, and they're in heaps of trouble. What, are we going to go down? No. Even if you take them two out, are we going to go down? No. We're not. It's just such a ridiculous suggestion. I mean, don't get me wrong, they are key players for us. Kaminski is the best keeper in the Championship. Diaz is one of the best attacking players in the Championship. But like you said, if you take NGI out of Sheffield United and their goalkeeper away, they're probably... they're in heaps of trouble. Man. Yeah. 17th, they've got Tony Mowbray. 18th, they've got Matt Taylor. Is that the guy who match of the day, goal of the season, Matt Taylor? I don't know if he's in charge of it. It sounds bad. Paul Ince at Reading. Nigel Pearson. Where's Nigel Pearson now? Flash scores. Oh, where's the championship? Who are we on about? Who are we asking for?
Nigel Pearson. Cardiff.
Cardiff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they are struggling down there, to be fair. Cole O'Toole at Wigan, not managed a game, 21st. 22nd, Michael Appleton. He's been so everywhere he's been, hasn't he? 23, Mark Hudson. No, Mark Hudson's at Cardiff.
So he's at... where's Pearson at?
Is he at Bristol City? Yeah, Mark Robbins is at Rotherham. That's how. Oh no, Matt Taylor's at Rotherham. Jesus,
I don't know
anything about this this league. Oh, Mark Robbins is Coventry.
Well, at the minute, it's just an absolute merry-go-round, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. There's constant news coming out of everywhere. What do you think about Coventry's stadium troubles? Being asked to evacuate. What's it called?
I think it's terrible what's going on, really. I'd hate that if I was like a Coventry fan. Say if that was like us with Ewood, it'd be horrible, wouldn't it? Like not having not being secure.
Not knowing where you're going to play on a Saturday. Like you've got your season ticket and you don't know whether you... I mean, they had the problems with like six fields and having to go to Northampton, which is like an hour and a half away every time. But to say like... I mean, they might never play it again.
It's mad, really. I saw like people like joking that Qatar should send that shipping container stadium to them, the 974.
They're going to use it in the next World Cup, aren't they?
They're
going to use it at every World Cup from now on, that stadium.
The next one's in like Canada, Mexico and USA, so where are they going to need to use it?
I'll tell you where they need to use it, because I had a look at the USA World Cup locations, because people were talking about
it's going to be 48 teams, isn't it? So
yeah, there is 16 locations, but there's certain cities. So Atlanta, which will be that Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the big spirally one. Boston, Gillette Stadium, Dallas, AT&T. So I thought,
that's massive, that AT&T Stadium.
I thought that the whole point of this World Cup would be more, they'll build football stadium, or soccer stadiums, for the MLS teams to actually have their own home ground.
Yeah.
I thought that would be the point. I thought that would be like the infrastructure to it, but it seems that they're just using the NFL stadiums. Like using Lincoln Field in Philadelphia, San Francisco Levi Stadium, Seattle Lumen Field, like they're all the NFL stadiums. Canada, I don't know. Vancouver, is BC Place. I don't know. But they have an NFL team. Is it Toronto Whitecaps in the MLS? No, yeah, Vancouver Whitecaps, Toronto. Jermaine Defoe's team. I don't know what the last name is. I don't know what the last name is. I don't know what Toronto's surname is. And then Mexico, I've got the Azteca, the Estadio BBVA, and then Estadio Akron.
You know, it's Toronto FC.
Could be.
Vancouver Whitecaps.
Vancouver Whitecaps, yeah, it is Toronto FC.
Yeah.
Hey, Toronto. So, how long have we been going on for now?
We've been going on for... Let me in.
Let me in.
45 minutes.
So, we are back. This is us now. We're back to the weekly episodes. We will do one after the Preston game.
Yeah. When you're back on holiday?
Christmas Eve. We'll have to do it on like Michael's teams, but that's the only way of doing it. We have got a couple of guests lined up for before Christmas. So we'll get them on.
On teams?
Oh, no, maybe not then. trying to think. It might be after Christmas. Well, it'd probably be better to have thingy on after Christmas, because that's when it'll be released and we can talk about it a lot more. No clues. No spoilers.
Yeah. That's a good point.
But yeah, we're back. This is us now. Football starting on Saturday. Proper football starting Saturday now, I'll tell you though. Still going to enjoy the World Cup to the end though.
Yeah. And you know, we're going to the end, so.
Honestly, I cannot wait for the England shagging to be over on Saturday night. Cannot wait. And it'll be like, oh well, there's always... And it'd be Southgate, like, we've come here, we've tried our best, we've give it our all, just one step too far. Southgate, this is your first tough game since you started. Like, go back to Middlesbrough and getting relegated and get sacked. Stink the plate, honestly. So who's England next man going to be after Saturday?
Give away.
McBeal. I'm loyal to Glasgow Rangers.
Gerrard.
No. Tommy Tuchel. Tuchel.
Don't want a foreign manager. Guardiola.
Got enough foreign players.
Guardiola.
Did you see Laporte crying when Spain got knocked out?
No, I didn't actually.
Oh, obviously, Morocco knocked him out on penalties and Laporte were on the pitch crying and the camera on him. I'm like, but they'll be trying to sneak back into the France hotel after the game. Is your sweet un baguette? Alright, lads, I'm back.
Right, lads, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You're damn right, you're sorry.
I didn't mean it.
What's that true, Geordie one? You're fucking right, you're sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm fucking right, you're sorry. Right. I think that's it. Have you got anything else to add before we go?
I think so. I was going to add something, but I'm going to record it as a separate bit. So I can go to the start. So.
Okie dokie. So.
That's it.
This will be the first proper video for us.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. You ruined it now. Oh,
record it on your own and then add it to the end.
Well, no, I was going to stop this. And then
record. We can still stop it and cut it out. Yeah. Need to learn to edit these things. That's me. I'm passing it on to you now. If there's any of our listeners that play 11-a-side football that want to kick a ball for King Edward Pub, because we are crying out for players.
Please, we're all doing emotional appeal.
For just £2 a month, you can play for King Edward up front. No, we're struggling for players. We're struggling for points. Anyone who can kick a ball and can run for 15 minutes, you're getting a game.
Any type of shift. Like. Yeah.
You never know, you might even end up on the YouTube channel. You might start doing
matchday vlogs.
Matchday vlogs down at Plessy. Yeah, just get in touch or come to training. You will get a game, I promise you. Right, and that's us, I think.
Yeah.
So it's good to be back, I think.
It is.
I'll see you. See you from the swimming pool. Hey.
Looking forward to Saturday. Looking forward to the second half of the season. We'll see where it takes us.
Aye. Yeah. Right, I'll see you in a bit.
Yeah. See you later.
Podcast Network.